RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
It's Wednesday morning, which means it's time for another Legal Hub, and that means Katie Ashby-Coppins beaming in. Morning, Katie.
Good morning. How are you this morning, listeners? How are you?
I'm not too bad. Yourself? I just ask you that? But you can tell us again if you want.
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm so looking forward to the end of the year.
Oh, man. Yeah, tell me about it.
I think every nerve ending is just like, I need a holiday.
Be like one of those, marathon runners or marathon walkers in the Olympics that just like collapses over the line. Anyway, oh, where's the violin?
Where's the violin? But yes, that underutilized power button on the telephone will be utilized over Christmas.
Yep.
And it will be nice to be able to switch off.
All right. I bet you won't totally switch off, but okay, good luck. All right, let's get into it. Gene Technology Bill New Zealand submissions are open. We've talked quite a bit about this recently from every angle it feels now. And so the government has agreed to introduce new gene technology legislation by the end of 2024. Well, that's not far away.
No, and it's not. And by submissions being open, we don't mean to the general public.
Ah, okay.
Because the submissions are not, the portal or the public announcement hasn't been made yet. A special invite, though, has been sent to a number of experts to get their reaction on the proposed bill.
Stakeholders.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got groups like the Science and Media group, which are, of course, just a propaganda machine.
They'll just disseminate, won't they, the chosen information?
They will. And they will, be very pro. And, there's some huge things missing from this bill. We've talked before about the bill likely following in the theme of the Australian bill, the Gene Technology Regulation Bill. And it does, on my review of it, having had a chance to look at it this afternoon, very similar wording, the processes that a sponsor would then apply to the regulator for a license to deal with their products within New Zealand geographical boundaries. And in doing so, they will then get a license to be able to deal in this manner as described. But of course, we've got a very similar situation to what we see with MedSafe and other regulators around the world, where the sponsor pays significant monies to the regulators, and the regulator is effectively working for the sponsors and not for the people of New Zealand.
There's an expectation when you pay the money, you get a result.
That's correct. And you want them to keep paying the money.
Presumably, there's a rigorous set of procedures to make any sort of assessment so nothing can go wrong?
Look, it doesn't look like it necessarily. There's a few things missing. And I'll just let you know, I only had a chance to start looking at this bill this afternoon. And there's a few things that appear to be missing things that I thought would be fundamental in respect to safety and a few other things, but we'll go through and have a look at a bit more of a detailed dive, and I think certainly assist people to pull together some submissions. Right. The timing of this bill is interesting, the timing of it and when it will be enforced, will come in as an act and the regulator established, looks to be by the end of 2025. And of course, we won't have the Royal Commission phase two until February 2026. And I suspect that that phase two report will be quite damning in respect of medicines that are gene therapies, which should actually have obtained a license before distribution in New Zealand under this new legislation. So we'll see. But we have to do a bit more of a deep dive at this point in time. It's, I'm going to say skullduggery with the timing of the report. We're 14 days from less than 2 weeks, really, from Christmas. The shutdown period for the year is much shorter. This is the opportunity for people to provide public submissions, but that's not open yet, despite the bill landing. And we've got, science and technology or science media being able to provide submissions in advance of the people, presumably because it's for the experts' reaction.
Yeah, okay. So
selected experts.
So essentially it's compressed up against the end of this year, I mean, that can't be random, can it? Because common sense would tell you, we better not do that there because we're going to limit the manoeuvring space for people so greatly.
Yeah, well, if you don't want to hear from them, what better time of year than to say, yes, we gave everyone the democratic right to provide feedback. We just did it at the end of the year when no one has time to exercise their democratic right and give feedback.
Yeah.
There's not even a government press release on it yet.
Really? So,
No. The press release came from a independent, in quote marks, science media organisation to say that the opportunity for experts to give feedback is open. So, look, they're cutting it fine. They clearly don't want to hear from anyone. The impact is that this is going to take GMOs from inside the lab in New Zealand to outside the lab. It's GMOs of all types. It will be agricultural, both meat and plants, medicines. It will cover the entire gambit of genetically modified organisms.
They sell the medical benefits to the public. That's what they sell. I've had that when I talked with Judith Collins. It was the first thing she mentioned was the medical advances.
It's just so amazing. I mean, but, you know, Judith has been bought 100 times over. So, you know, she's going to, of course, say that she thinks it's a brilliant idea. I mean, can you remember the two stooges wearing their lab jackets?
Yeah.
I wouldn't give them hedgehogs to look after. So that's, you know, that's the nonsense. And they're being sold that it's, you're going to advance New Zealand and it's going to do X, Y, Z. The beautiful thing is we are on the biggest moat in the world. We have got a clean, green image, and yet we're going to go and ransack that clean, green image. I can't even come into the country with an apple and a $400 fine. Yet these are just going to waltz on through. We're going to have GMO corn. No doubt that's going to spread. It's just, you know, why do it? Why do it? We actually don't need to.
A lot of us are asking that question because we found out also through Organics New Zealand and their NZIER report of the potential loss. It's in the billions. And no one's made an argument that we're going to make more out of this, which can't point to any successes.
No. And we've got countries, we've got the Northern Hemisphere that leads the way in this. We've got Australia's recent example with the genetically modified vaccines, which, you know, the regulator just didn't think she needed to regulate. You know, we've got examples of this all overseas, and it doesn't bode well for the world. Like, we're screwing with the Mother Nature and she won't respond.
You mentioned that phase two, that's relevant, isn't it? Because I'm sure people worked that out from what you just said, but just going at it again, that was a release of genetically modified everything almost into the community.
Yeah.
And it's caused huge damage. That should be a slam dunk. We're never going near there again. And we can explain why we went there in the first place. But that there's no mention of that. There's nothing.
No, and there's not, because that would be an inconvenient truth or a convenient lie. Never quite sure. But the reason why phase two of the Royal Commission is relevant is because it's going to be looking at the COVID-19 vaccines and the injuries. And while there was some dancing around by the Environment Protection Agency in New Zealand about the mRNA components of the products not satisfying the definition of genetically modified organism, although they failed to touch on lipid nanoparticle distribution and SV40, which is an enhancer that in the Pfizer vaccines that actually makes sure that the product gets into your cells, that's not a genetically modified organism, I don't know. But more importantly, and what I've been dealing with the EPA recently about, is the fact, and I put them on notice last year, that the DNA contamination, which has been discovered in excessive levels, certainly satisfies the definition of genetic modified organism under the EPA legislation. And that stuff wasn't supposed to be in the products, and certainly not
was
to the level
that
they're
in. Was it in the New Zealand products? Because I know you're talking about the Australian experience, aren't you?
One of the batches that was tested in Australia has been sent to New Zealand, and I haven't done the analysis of all of the batches that have been tested by the independent labs around the world. Now France has been added to the list alongside Germany, US, Canada, and Australia. But, you know, there is a certainty that has been shared that batches up to a particular age, i.e. the ones that were used for mass production and quickly, will be contaminated with these excessive levels of DNA.
I've got a feeling they'll get what they want.
Yes, they will, and put all of us in jeopardy.
Yeah, and no one will care because no one will know.
No, and, you know, it's one of these things that government make the policy. Don't ever look to see whether or not there's a problem. Don't do any follow-up. Don't consider whether or not there is adverse events. It's like, you know, all of the things that happen. Remember the moth story and the polio, the moths that escaped from the guy who'd taken them home or something from the lab.
Yeah,
and then,
right, yeah.
You know, they end up spraying the whole of America with this ridiculously poisonous moth killer, and then all of a sudden, you know, the following 5 years, there's this breakout of polio. You know, you kind of have to, but you know, nothing to see here. Well, if you don't look, you're not going to know. But the thing is that you can look. The benefit of New Zealand is that we are so far behind, and so many other countries have done a lot of this already. Why would we go and unnecessarily poison the pot?
Just going back to, you know, those guys in their white coats, you know, Luxon and Collins and even David Seymour.
Yeah, well, they all think it's great because that's all they've heard.
The point I'm going to make, I've rattled on about this before, is they're not freaking salesmen. They're not hired to do a sales job. So that's already a conflict of interest right there, right barefaced in your face, conflict of interest.
Yeah, and when you see how incredibly difficult your discussion with Judith was about these types of topic, she was so incredibly dismissive of anything that you might say. And here you are, a person, a constituent that may or may not have elected her into office, and she is treating you with
disdain.
She thought
I was an idiot.
Oh, complete
cooker.
Wouldn't
get it.
No, you
wouldn't
get
it.
So just a real lack of respect. But yeah, I'm going to trust Pfizer and all of those big companies that have been lobbying me hard and no doubt have ensured her future job should these things go through.
Well, hopefully someone hangs on to the videos of those clowns, I call them clowns, doing their sales job, because one day they might have to be hauled out. What's this I see, GFreeNZ and their complaint to the Ombudsman, 3 months delay?
Yeah, so GFree, knowing full well that there was a promise of this bill before Christmas, put in a request for a few types of documents, you know, policies, various other documents that would pertain to the proposed legislation. And we'd already had enough of a heads up in August of 2024 that the New Zealand legislation would be similar to the Australian Gene Technology Regulation legislation, and GFree got on the front foot and put in some Official Information Act requests. Official Information Act requests should be answered in 28 days. The department responsible for this legislation has taken their good old sweet time and still not provided anything that is to answer those OIA requests, and in effectively 3 months late.
Okay. I've heard, someone told me that they heard from staff, I think it was inside the Ombudsman's office, they basically admitted they're just too much on their hands. They'd like to help, but, you know, they just physically, it's kind of impossible to get through anything quickly.
Yeah, because they fluff about and don't deal with things which could be, if they came down with a guillotine on these issues and actually, you know, say to the government departments, no, this is not on. You've actually got to provide this. There is no good reason for you to refuse this under the OIA legislation. And the request is not so large or voluminous that you couldn't quickly deal with it. You know, that's the Ombudsman's fault.
Yeah. But if they're under-resourced, like on purpose even.
Oh, I'm sure it's intentional. But I'm sure that people are also so many more people are participating in their democratic rights, and democratic right includes asking for this information under the Official Information Act, and it's terribly effective. But of course, you know, it's only terribly effective if you're able to get the information, and we've got this arrogant, ignorant government, which is often turning around and saying, one, I don't need to provide it, or two, this is inconvenient, or let's just kick the can down the road because we know the Ombudsman's taking over a year to respond.
Yeah. All right, before we go on that topic, anything more to say?
No, but, well, yes.
Yeah, there's always something more to say, yeah.
Just that, you know, we'll be certainly helping out with, and I just had a talk with the girls about helping people to prepare submissions, also assisting and really picking off what GE Free New Zealand's done. They are such a phenomenal organisation, and have the benefit of being able to just carry on and look at one issue where we've got often multiple ones to deal with. So I think it's important for us all just to take the time to at least send an email. And if public submissions are not going to be made available or open, then let's fill some inboxes instead of filling some stockings.
Yeah, good idea. Fill the inboxes, not the stockings. All right, to the UK. Women Scotland Limited, or For Women Scotland Limited, versus the Scottish Ministers. Appeal heard in the UK Supreme Court last month. What's this all about? Get ready for this story.
Oh, I think we've touched on this case beforehand. It's another cracker.
Yeah.
So, effectively, the Women of Scotland, which is a group that's been created that is pushing back against the Equity or the Equality Act and the definition therein, has brought an action against the Ministers of Scotland, challenging the lawfulness of the guidance the Scottish government's given on whether a trans woman can be regarded as a female for the purposes of the 2010 Equality Act. And, of course, the Scottish government says, yes, of course, as long as they've got the certificate.
You've got to have the certificate.
The certificate really does sort the issue out.
It's even better if it's laminated.
Definitely. You can wear it around your neck then.
Yeah, that's a lanyard. With your other lanyards, okay?
Yeah, one, the fact that women are having to argue this. Two, that they're having to take these things to court at enormous costs. And you look at the costs that Sal Grover's incurred to do the same in Australia. Is it Katie Holmes from UK say? Batshit bonkers Britain.
Katie Hopkins.
Yeah, she's just nails it. So this is the situation we're dealing with. The Scottish ministers say that man and woman in the Equality Act refer to certified sex, not sex, whereas the legislation...
Certified. That sounds even more official.
Just sex, yep.
Yeah.
Not just sex as per person's birth certificate.
Someone signed it off.
Just signed it off. Yes, no, you can change your... the fact that you have to look... A piece of paper over, you know, your XY chromosomes.
Oh, I know which one I'd take. Piece of paper every time. It's like, I want to see your certificate.
Yeah, and that explains everything. So the submissions are hilarious. Well, not hilarious. They are obvious, but they've been quite beautifully pulled together by the women's KC, Mr. O'Neill. And he just nails it every single time. And I'll just read a couple of them and perhaps we might be able to play some of them.
Okay.
The facts of biological reality rather than fantasies of illegal fiction means that the court should find in the favour of woman.
Yeah.
The position is your sex, whether you are a man, a woman, a girl or a boy, is determined from conception in utero, even before one's birth, by one's body.
Yeah, I get that.
But you can get a certificate to say otherwise.
Yep, yeah. Any more?
He goes on to suggest that the ministers, the Scottish Parliament, could not have intended for the application of the Equality Act to result in such absurd, nonsensical outcomes.
Great, calling it out. That's good.
Yep. And then I love this last part, which was, Sex is an immutable biological state, and I did have to look up the word immutable, which is unchanging over time or unable to be changed.
Right. That nails it.
Certificate.
Yeah. Unless you have the certificate. It's got to have a stamp on it too, right?
I'm sure from one of these amazing ministers.
Yeah, it'll come with a QR code, probably.
Possibly.
Hold it up to the thing. All right, sorry, carry on.
And then the government's response is this. The term woman used in the 2018 Act includes a person issued with a full certificate in the acquired gender of female and excludes a person issued with a full certificate in the acquired gender of male.
Acquired. The fixating on certificates and officialdom or officiousness, aren't they? That's all meaningless. It means nothing.
Oh, it's complete waffle nonsense.
But to hang to it.
But yes, and to actually put people to the expense of it and to justify it for a very small minority that, you know, I think are just hell-bent on attention.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, so this is still in process, is it?
Yeah, so the appeal was heard last month, and there'll be a few downtime period for the decision to come out, and probably that will come out early in the new year. I do imagine that the judge should be able to produce a decision relatively quickly, and that it shouldn't take too much of his time over Christmas to think about. But we will see. Stranger things happened.
Yeah, no one wants to lose that tick. What's that tick that they sell? Maybe the judge has got one. The rainbow tick.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't want to put that at risk.
No.
Think of how much it cost. All right. Well, that's entertaining.
Yeah, it is. And look, we're seeing it everywhere in around the world, and particularly around the Five Eye Nations. This nonsense is really starting to sneak in. And the point is that you can be whatever you want. Like, you can. But with the fact that this is impacting on legislation and introducing such nonsense and putting women generally at risk in some situations is what makes a mockery out of this situation, and especially because we had spent so long fighting for safe spaces, fighting for, you know, it just seems incredible that we spent decades burning bras to now have those bras worn by men.
Yeah. Didn't see it turning out like that.
Goodness gracious, no. And them having the same rights as women.
Yeah, it's bizarre. All right. Well, that's interesting. I think we've hit up against the time now.
I think we may have. I do love catching up with you, Paul, and everybody.
Yeah, love having you on too. Is this our last chat? Are we going to do something next week as well?
Oh, I don't know. The girls haven't asked. Possibly not, but we can. I will check in.
We might have to have you saying Merry Christmas, everybody. And
would you like me to
have a legal new year?
Would you like me to sing?
Oh, yeah, why not?
No, I won't sing. It's awful.
You don't want me to sing.
But I'm going to, this is what I'm asking everybody that asks me what I'm doing for Christmas, and that is actually turning off the devices, spending maximum time with the family, and just actually shaking off a lot of of the pressure that we've all been under for the last 4 years. We actually need to have a decent clean out and holiday so that we can start again next year. The most important thing, and someone said to me this year, was it's not come yet. We don't need to be living what we're anticipating is coming.
Yeah.
Let's go and enjoy the sun.
Wait for
the beach and the ice cream.
Well, I think relaxing this holiday for me is probably going to involve getting nearly or completely drunk every day.
Oh, well, I'm going to be down in Queenstown, so I hope to see you both.
All right, you will. Okay, thank you, Katie Ashby-Coppins, Legal Hub. Always good.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.